Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Game Industry News Gen Lounge. I'm Neil. That's Vince.
Hello.
And today, we're going to record them all. I mean, catch them all. We're talking about Pokemon, damn it. Our last Pokemon show got corrupted at the end of the year, and then Vince and I have been dealing with corrupted files, COVID, and everything else in between. So now, with the news of Pokemon Scarlet and Violet coming out, and new Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, and Pokemon Legends Arceus, all of those have come out, I think it would be a good moment to kind of reflect on Pokemon. So, and I guess the other important thing is actually that we can prevent Vince from talking about Elden Ring, because otherwise I think Vince might throw a controller or a keyboard through my window.
I would never throw anything that I own through your window, because my things are expensive, and throwing burning bags of dog shit all over the place is it's pretty frowned upon, from what I understand.
So I say we start out with the negative here, and let's talk about Brilliant Diamond, and what was the sister copy?
Shining Pearl.
Shining Pearl. Because...
Roll BDSP.
I feel like that game drove you up a couple of walls.
Well, you know that I'm not exactly super negative when it comes to a lot of the things that I like. There's not a lot that you need to do in order to make an RPG feel good. And getting movement down is typically one of the easiest things that you can do. And Brilliant Diamond couldn't even manage that for whatever reason. I don't know. There were a lot of improvements that were made going from like Platinum into Brilliant Diamond that they just never decided to implement. There were instances where, for example, you go into the Steel Gym. I think there were like two or three Steelix in that gym. No other Steel types. You've actually battled more Onyxes going through the Steel Gym than you did Steelix. And there's one woman, I think she had an Azumarill in the Steel Gym for whatever reason. I'm not even sure what that was about, but I don't understand a lot of their design choices there, because you can tell that they designed everything off of a grid and then decided to allow free movement, but they locked the objects to the grid, so you'd get hung up on everything, and decided to use one block width paths that your character just gets hung up on constantly. It was ridiculous. What game was there was pretty passable, but I was frustrated with it, because it's like, it's a JRPG. How can you not make movement good?
Yeah, and I know I still have yet to play this. I was actually going to get your copy off of you. But especially for something like the traditional Pokemon game, you know, the formula has been effective, and to see it regress so severely was just surprising, because as Game Freak and Pokemon Company have started redoing the originals, like when they came out with Fire Red, Leaf Green, Heart Gold and Soul Silver, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, they all felt like improvements on the game, as opposed to Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, which felt like they somehow managed to take the original game that a lot of people liked and made it worse. So that begs the question, Vince, do you think Game Freak's on their way out?
Well, Game Freak didn't develop Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl. That was Ilka. I Love Computer Arts, I think was their name.
Oh.
And I think that was also among one of the first games they had made. So I guess if we look at it from that respect, they actually did quite well with what they were given, considering they were using whatever Game Freak gave them to create the game in Unity. I mean, we're talking about a game that very clearly had troubled development, though. When the game came out, if you were to just take the launch copy Brilliant Diamond cartridge and stick it in your Switch without doing any updates there would be really low quality MIDI music in it for some reason. Like, there was placeholder music that went gold with the game that they actually swapped out in the day one patch. There was also no title screen. It was just like press start. There wasn't even a Dialga or a Palkia on the title screen. And that's usually the barest minimum that they do for title screens. It's obvious they had some issues getting the game ready on time. And for some reason, I guess the Pokemon Company never lets them delay games. I think the reason why Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl came out when they did, which was just a few months before Legends Arceus, was because Game Freak was working on Legends Arceus. That was the one that they were spending their time on.
Yeah, and you and I have, it may not be necessarily the case in for Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. You and I discussed this a while back, and we think that a lot of it's tied to the merchandising, where they don't want to delay these games because they have so much like animes and plush toys and all of this merchandise relying on this game to release, that they'd rather shove out a broken game and try to patch it later than deal with lost revenue from holding merchandise.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if that's what they were doing there, because it's not like I pay a whole bunch of attention to the Pokemon merch scene. But I didn't see a lot of new stuff come out around that time. I have no idea what their reason for all of that was. I wish I did.
So yeah, definitely of all the Pokemon games that have come out recently, definitely feels like it's the worst one.
I think Sword and Shield was a masterpiece, especially if you include its DLC in comparison to Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl.
Yeah,
which I wasn't huge on Swish when they came out. I was not. I was like, how can you get the online system this bad? And then they release Brilliant Diamond, which its online is actually worse than the game it was remaking. This was probably mentioned in the podcast episode we lost, but when Brilliant Diamond launched, what you hit, like, I think the minus button to view, like, whether or not you want to go to the Union Room. And the Union Room is how you play with other players online. It was supposed to be a place where you join this room and you set whether you want to trade or battle. And someone can come up and talk to someone who has the appropriate bubble over their head. And then you can trade with that person or battle them. In the DS version, I think 6 or 8 people could be in the Union Room with you. When Brilliant Diamond came out, the picture of the Union Room that you click to go into it through the menu had a whole bunch of people in the room. But only one other person could be in there with you, no matter what. It didn't have the functionality for more than one person in the online system for you to pick and choose from. So when I'm trying to trade with a friend of mine, and I'm like, hey, use this code, and another random person put this code in and entered the room, the friend I was trying to trade with couldn't join in because someone else had used the slot. That's ridiculous. How do you... And, I mean, good on Ilka. They have fixed that now. But they fixed that like a month or so ago. So that was broken for like 3 months. That's weird. That's really weird for the biggest franchise in the world.
And I know that we are in the age of, well, I know something's bad, but it can always be fixed. And I know it's probably showing my age and probably a lot of my cynicism, but both Vince and I come from an era where you couldn't patch and you just put out broken games. And I am of the mindset, the fact that you can fix it later should not negate the fact that you put out something broken now.
Right.
Because, I mean, theoretically, they could push out a game that has one level and it say, oh, no, we're going to add more post. No, like it needs to try to be as complete as possible when you push it out. And as Vince pointed out, with not having the music in there, not having a title screen. Like, those are some big oversights. I will say, though, of the other two Pokemon games that came out, I actually recently got the new Pokemon Snap. And I've been enjoying it. I don't think it's anything to write home about, but it does a good enough job of giving me nostalgia for the N64 one while still being good in its own right. The controls feel great. The graphics are nice. I'm really glad with how they handled the remake. I don't know if it's a kind of a reboot, a remake, a sequel, because it has the original character Todd in it. You see him, but you're a different kid. But no, I think they did a really good job with developing it, and it's a solid game. And they find a way to kind of keep, you have to redo some levels, but they found a way to kind of keep it a little fresh by having you go through different routes. And I think the $60 it came out with was a bit much because it is a short game, but I recently got it for $35, and I think $30 to $40 is a great price range for it.
Yeah, $30 or $40 for a rail shooter, which I guess Pokemon Snap effectively is
rail shooting photos.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those neat things about that game because it actually shows you a world. Because the old Pokemon games would tell you there is a world where, you know, Pokemon bounce around and do whatever, but you never actually got to see that. You just walk into tall grass or in a cave and you're just accosted by Zubats every couple of steps.
Pidgeys.
Or Pidgey. I would prefer Pidgey to Zubat, at least until they made Crobat. Crobat's pretty cool. I like that one. But they just throw these things at you constantly, but you don't actually see a connection to the world through them. It is entirely segregated as a gameplay mechanic that you only experience these Pokemon in the wild when you're walking through grass. So in the original Pokemon Snap, when you can agitate a Magikarp to go up a waterfall and it evolves into Gyarados, that's really magical because that's like straight out of the Pokedex. You read about it, now you get to see it. It makes it a world. It makes it alive. And I haven't played new Pokemon Snap. I was wanting to get it. I was also hoping for like a $30 price point. So whenever I pick that up, I'll probably be enthralled, get as many pictures as I can, and then, you know, just move on.
Well, if worst comes to worst, you can borrow my copy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll send Brilliant Diamond your way, and you send new Pokemon Snap my way after you finish it.
Sounds good. But no, I mean... Honestly, like, they did a really good job, like, with the interactions. You would see, like, Scorbunny running throughout various parts of the level. Then you'd find it sleeping on, I forget what the giant turtle Pokemon is.
There's several turtle
Pokemon. It's a grass one. Had a tree growing out the back.
Torterra?
Yeah, that was it. So Scorbunny would be sleeping on a Torterra at the end. There's one where you can like shrink down and you kind of see like a Pikachu and I'm not sure who the other Pokemon was, trying to get away from a Dodrio. So like it's some really interesting interactions. And it does kind of, it's a bright game. It's colorful. It's a great way to kind of relax and play Pokemon without having the full grind of a Pokemon game. And I think it's one of the strongest installments. But then, and I haven't played it yet, but you have, Arceus. Tell us about it. Yeah,
that's actually a good segue. Because Legends Arceus does the whole, hey, you know, there's an actual world here thing better than any of the other games have done. Like the strength of the Snap games is they can show you the world, but they can spend a lot of time on the interactions, the evolutions, what have you, because you're always going to experience them a certain way, and you can only interact with them a certain way. So the experience is there, but it's more limited. In Legends Arceus, you're isekai'd, you're thrown into another world by God, basically, and he's like, go catch everything, whatever, who cares? And you wind up joining with like the past version of Team Galaxy, which is really neat. That's a neat impetus for a story. And because you came from a time where people aren't afraid of Pokemon, you can just run up and, you pelt Shinx in the head with Pokeballs and catch it. And everyone's like, oh my God, you caught 3 Pokemon. That's amazing. Because everyone else is too afraid, and then they get thundershocked in the testicles or something. Who knows? I don't know what happens to them. They keep going on and on about like, oh, they'll kill you. They'll kill you. And they can, but you have an amazing dodge roll. Why can't everyone roll like that? I think they did a fantastic job in Legends Arceus of actually giving you a world. It's still segmented, because it's a lot more like Monster Hunter in presentation. Because you have a central hub town, and then you can leave that town to go into these large open fields. But then anytime you want to like jump to another field, you have to go back to town, then embark again. It sounds more annoying than what it actually is. It's really not that big of a deal. But you're pretty much just tasked with like finding all these different things out about the various Pokemon that are in the region. And what's really neat is that same thing I mentioned about Magikarp and making it evolve into a Gyarados, how it was something from the Pokedex. They do that all over the place in Legends Arceus. You just have to know to look. There's a Pokemon called Nosepass. It's a walking schnoz, and it's supposed to be magnetic, and it's based off of a compass. But its Pokedex entry has always been, it always points north. Like, when it's at rest, it's always looking north. That's how travelers can use that to get around. Well, if you find Nosepass in the wild in, like, the 3rd or 4th area, and you haven't bothered them yet, they're always looking north. Guaranteed, 100% of the time, they're looking north. They'll look other directions if you mess with them, but they're gonna look north at rest, and that's amazing. If you fall off of your flying bird mount thing and you damage yourself like crazy and you're near a Blissey will run up to you and heal you. She's like, hey, can I offer you an egg in this trying time? And that's also something from its Pokedex entry. It can't leave injured people alone. And that's cool. So you have all these little things and Pokemon that'll interact with each other. I like how when Sudowoodo doesn't notice you, it'll just walk around like normal. But the moment it sees you, it completely stiffens and pretends to be a tree, and it will keep making eye contact with you while trying to pretend to be a tree the entire time, even if you're like circling around it. That's adorable.
So I guess my question for you, Vince, is do you think this is the future of Pokemon games, or is this a one-off?
I hope it's closer to the future. There's a few things I didn't like. I'll be straight with you, but I'm hoping that they continue to evolve what they have there, because there has not been a single Pokemon game that respects the player's time more than Legends Arceus. Like, if you want berries, just chuck one of your captured indentured servants at a tree. They'll hit it for you, and you can just walk away. Like, all at one time, you can throw a Pokeball at a tree to have, like, your Arcanine get you some Apricorns or whatever, switch to another Pokemon while Arcanine is out doing the menial labor you just gave him, then chuck another Pokeball at a Pokemon in front of you and have it fight, and you'll still get the Apricorns, Arcanine will still return, and then you can beat the crap out of this other one that's right in front of you. And you can run around and pick up items yourself, too. It's nice to walk around and just catch 30 Glammeow because you feel like it. And all you have to do is look at them and throw the ball at them. Or you can feed them berries or hide in grass or do whatever. Just keep throwing balls at them. It's fine. It's not assault. Like, I hope if nothing else returns in Scarlet and Violet, I hope the catching system returns. Because if you are a purist and you want to whittle a Pokemon's health down before you catch it, you can still do that in Legends Arceus. But you don't have to. If you want to throw a berry and hit them in the back with a heavy ball, if you want to use smoke bombs and just sneak up on them like a ninja.
If you just want to grab a tire iron, threaten them, and take out a kneecap.
You can do that too. You can throw stuff at them and stun them. And then hit them with a Pokeball and get a capture rate bonus because you hit them when they were stunned. You can just straight up chuck a rock at a Rowlet's head and be like, you're mine now. That's something they need to iterate upon, not leave in this particular generation. The battle system changes, I still don't explicitly understand some of the things in the battle system, but I don't really need to get into that. I don't particularly think, but it worked well for a challenging single player experience. Though I think, like, as far as competitive Pokemon goes, I don't want to enter a situation where my Pokemon can knock out my opponents, they get a revenge switch in, and then they get two turns immediately because they switched in something faster, and I don't even have the option of withdrawing my Pokemon. That works in single player. I don't think that works in, like, competitive multiplayer. So maybe return that to normal for Scarlet and Violet, but leave the catching system like Legends Arceus. That's so much better. So much more convenient.
Yeah, speaking of Scarlet and Violet, I know a couple of small photos have been leaked. I know the initial starters have been leaked. I have to ask, Vince, do you know why the internet is going crazy over the grass cat and why it needs to stay on four legs?
Have you seen Incineroar?
No.
Okay, I thought Incineroar's in Smash Brothers 2, so I was hoping. Do me a favor.
Oh, go look yeah, it that up guy. And
look at how he has giant sausage fingers.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, so look at its first form called Litten. Jamie, pull that stuff up for me. And I just want you to take a look at how Litten became Incineroar, and nobody wants a grass type Incineroar. And this is one thing that I'll have to make a small caveat about this. I don't mind Incineroar in Smash Brothers. In Smash Brothers, Incineroar has personality. If he lands a big move, he does like the devil horns and looks at the camera and he's like, yeah, because he's supposed to be a luchador and luchadors like play to the crowd. That's cool. In Pokemon, he's a goofy looking cat with sausage fingers. Who cares? He has a wrestling belt, but his flamethrower animation basically comes from his crotch. They tried to line it up. They didn't. Not very well. So, I like Incineroar. The sheer amount of him I had to experience due to playing VGC is off the charts, because he's like one of the best Pokemon ever made for doubles, because he gets like Snarl and Intimidate both, plus Fake Out and a whole bunch of other really good stuff. But, no. No, I'm not a tremendous fan of the design. Paws stay on the ground. Sprigatito should stay quadruped, please. Or if it turns bipedal, just not an Incineroar. I try to find the best in the starters, and usually the first forms are pretty good. I like all three of the first forms that they've shown off so far, which is more than I can say for Gen 7 and 8.
Yeah, like I was honestly like really happy with, I think it was 7, with the Firefox, but then like I was...
That was X and Y, so it was Gen 6,
but I was kind of, I didn't like its final form either.
How Gen 6 was weird too, because Chestnut wasn't... Some people like Chestnut, I don't like to make assumptions on people's taste, but a lot of people liked the Fox's middle form, which was Bryxen, I think. And that one even got into Pokken Tournament, the Pokemon fighting game. Not Delphox, but Bryxen got in.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny. I like Greninja the best, because Ninja Frog was just a cool idea. And then Gen 7 had, that one had Primarina, the singer seal. It had the ghost grass owl, and it had Incineroar, which it's fine.
Sausage notwithstanding.
Sausage notwithstanding. I mean, it is cool that they gave him a wrestling belt, but that's the only thing that makes him look like a wrestler. I don't even really see the luchador mask going on the face that well. To be honest, he needs to act more like a wrestler. Do you know what his signature move is? He T-poses and spins. That's Darkest Lariat's animation. That doesn't sell wrestler to me at all. In order to see him act like a wrestler, you need to jump into Smash Brothers. And I mean, supplementary material notwithstanding, I don't think he's a great, greatly designed character. But there are some people who really desperately like him. So there is that.
So I'm excited for Scarlet and Violet, but I'm also a little nervous because part of it's just like their last two main installments have not been ideal. As the aforementioned Brilliant Diamond comes to mind, but also Sword and Shield that we've both harped on for poor pacing, ludicrous story.
Hop stopping you every like 3 minutes.
Yeah, and constantly telling you, good job, you know the elemental weaknesses. Like, no kidding.
They even do that in the final battle of the game too, which is kind of funny.
So, I as a longtime Pokemon fan, I hope that they don't go down the route where the offshoots are better than the actual games. I kind of want some balance there. Just because, like, the offshoots are great, but, like, Pokemon Stadium's not a thing anymore. Pokemon Snap is a fun, quick yarn, but it's not anything to really sink your teeth into. I don't know, is Pokemon Arceus, Pokemon Legends Arceus long?
Lengthwise? It's like, I think I took probably 50 hours to beat the main story, which there's no multiplayer, so you can trade, but you can't battle in that one. It probably took me another 10 to 20 hours to collect everything in it, like complete the Pokedex and all that stuff.
So is that about average compared to a normal main title, or is that short?
I think most Pokemon games can probably be beaten in 20, 25, 30 hours. So it's a little bit longer than usual, but also I spent a significant amount of time just not messing with the story. I wandered around and I caught every alpha that I saw, because they have big scary alpha Pokemon with glowing red eyes just kind of wandering around, and every time I'd see one I'd be like, I'm gonna catch that. And I just kept doing it, and it has one of the more challenging final battles in the entirety of Pokemon. I was outrageously over leveled, like 25 to 30 levels over where I should have been for this battle to be challenging, because I just spent so much time wandering around catching everything I saw.
Well, at least
I really like catching stuff.
At least it was.
Well, don't make an SPD joke.
It was about to happen.
Yeah, I'm just gonna cut that off in the past right now. We don't need to talk about STIDs here. Sexually and transmitted diseases? No way. I play Pokemon. Who's having sex?
At the very least, with that battle, you didn't have to cheese the AI. What battle was it that you said that you beat it? I think it was, but when you went back, you were like 10 levels under, but you cheese the AI and beat the battle anyways.
Were you talking recently? Because I did that in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl just because I quit caring. All I did was I set up with my Scizor to +6 attack and then just bullet punched her entire team to death. I don't think I was 10 levels under, but I was a good like 5 to 6.
I think you mentioned Storm Drain as an ability.
Yeah, Cynthia has a Gastrodon, and yeah. I set up on the Gastrodon and her Milotic, I think. That's what I largely aim to do, because they couldn't really do anything to a Scizor that I couldn't just heal off with Roost. I didn't even have healing items. I just walked right into the final battle, and I'm like, just let this be over. I just want to be done.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we've been looking at with Pokemon. As things come out, you know, I think it might be good to revisit it. So, before we go, Vince, do you want to talk about Elden Ring?
I don't know. Magma Worm's garbage.
I think I want to make our next show Elden Ring, because I'm pretty sure Vince is going to need to get it out of his system, and I think it might be good for him to yell at somebody or around somebody, get all that rage out.
Well, okay, it's not that the game's like super hard or anything. It's just that for some reason that camera does not cooperate in small areas, and they love putting large enemies in really small rooms. So it's not fun to roll away from an attack and then the camera be stuck at a worm's eye view with, like, you can see nothing but the boss. I actually had a friend watching me play the game last night as I was trying to, like, fight a boss a couple of times. He's like, wow, I don't know, like, I can't tell what is happening. And I'm like, I'm the one playing the game and I have no idea. Like, I've just been hitting the B button, hoping that eventually I'll be able to see again, like, because the camera is not cooperating, it's stuck. Long story short, I died, had to go back, got my souls, killed the boss, because then the second time my camera didn't get stuck. But they love their tiny rooms, they've loved them ever since Sekiro. But Sekiro at least had super tight everything was tight, toit like a toiger, as a gold member would say.
Oh, I did not want to think about that movie. That's what I get.
Gold.
That's what I get for giving you a soapbox. So, I think now all we need is, because we have Elden Ring, which is Breath of the Wild, Dark Souls. Now we just need Pokemon Legends Arceus, Dark Souls, and we're good.
Some people made the comparison to Legends Arceus to Dark Souls, and I thought it was funny. It's like, oh, you have to dodge roll attacks, and it's like, no, you don't. You don't really. Most attacks you can actually just sidestep. Or another one of the ways that they really respect your time, you can just press the plus button and summon a deer that just lets you run really fast. It's super convenient. No need to be told by Oak that you can't do that here, or some other like 3 text box nonsense. Just, oh, something's attacking you and you don't really want to mess with it right now. Hit the plus button, run away a little bit, and then, I don't know, try and sneak up on it again. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
Hit it with a brick.
I was actually surprised by how little I needed to dodge roll in that game. So anyone who's avoiding that due to not having good reaction time, don't really have to worry about that. The only time dodging is super necessary is during the noble Pokemon boss fights, which, as noted in my review, is like the worst part of the game. They're not hard. It just sucks up like 5 to 10 minutes of your life, and you're not going to get that back, but it doesn't seem that bad, because then you'll get to go to a new area and you'll find normal ghost type Zoruas in a snow hole. I fell into a hole and I started catching a bunch of ghosts. It was cool. Gold.
You keep it up, but when Mario Strikers comes out, I will have my lung capacity back, and and we are putting that on Twitch. It's happening. I am going farther in Duolingo to make sure I can get to the sports section so that I can commentate that.
It's like, this is what it means to go even further beyond goal.
Oh, I'm going to have so much fun with that. But thank you all for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or you want to talk Pokemon, drop us a line at ginlounge@gameindustry.com. You can follow us on YouTube. We're published on the website and wherever you get your podcasts. And we look forward to hearing from you. If you have subjects you want us to talk about, let us know. We'll definitely consider them.
Yeah, and wherever you're listening to this, leave a like, comment, or follow, because it really helps out the podcast somehow.
It makes it look like more people are listening to us than just the bot in Lithuania.
You know, that bot in Lithuania might actually be a real person, and they might be getting super offended.
Probably. I mean, if they want to talk, even if they don't know English, I will learn Lithuanian to talk to them.
Have a good one, everybody.